talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence with Vince, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this December the 14th on the West Coast, now December the 15th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd like to welcome those listening in around the world on Wind Talkers Radio Network, and also out in space, those with the United Galactic Federation, Galaxy of Hendon. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about. There seems to be this regurgitation of disinformation going around. We're doing our part to alert you to the fact that many people are being played for fools as we see fabricated video go out on YouTube. Talk show hosts get bogus email from financial corporations posing as victims of violent crime, what have you. When you try to do a little bit of investigation just to see if these people who are touting themselves as potential guests on this show and others, you'll be amazed at the amount of corruption that comes our way. And I just thought I'd mention that because I have a stable of guests that I bring on a weekly basis and month to month, and you are telling me that you enjoy what these ladies and gentlemen have to say about whatever their expertise is, and they are usually so discerning that they can talk about a variety of topics. Tonight's guest is one such gentleman. Before I bring him on, however, I'm going to play some interesting fiddle music. This is something that I feel will bring you outside the box, and at the same time, we can give a shout out to our friends in the six northern counties of Ireland who listen to this show on Wind Talkers Radio Network, Doug and his gang, and since I happened to some years ago perform with some Irish musicians, I fell in love with the jig there, the dance and the music, and this happens to be recorded on an album called Mystical Adventures by the famous French jazz violinist Jean-Luc Ponty, and this is called Jig. Thank you. Little known to many people around the world, Jean-Luc Ponty actually played with Frank Zappa, one of my favorite guitar playing, composing, producing, orchestrator, musicians, the late Frank Zappa, I should say, who brought a wealth of musical contributions to the world. He was well loved around the world as a musician, and he discovered Jean-Luc through musical contacts and invited him to do an album. And he became famous from having worked with Frank Zappa and began his own adventures. Small wonder that he entitled this album Mystical Adventures. And it still stands up today. It's been out there for a number of years, and yet sounds like it was just done yesterday. Hope you folks in Ireland appreciated that. With that, hopefully we're outside the box a bit, and we're going to bring on tonight's guest. He is an environmental scientist, chemist, herbalist, historian, and even a musician himself, working on a CD as we speak. And when he's finished with that, hopefully I'm going to master that for him and help him get it launched. Our good friend and oft-time visitor here on Evident Footprints, Michael Anthony. Michael, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Don. Great to be back. Thank you.
I hope you like the music. I know.
Oh, yeah, Jean-Luc, sure. I was going to ask you, it sounded like it was from like the late 80s time frame.
Yeah, yeah. That's actually before we really had a lot of the stuff that we have now for recording albums. So that was all played, you know, in an analog fashion, we'll say, in the studio. You go in there. A lot of it was done in, you know, single takes. He did some overdubbing, of course.
Sure.
It's hard to tell. he's that proficient.
Definitely.
Musically.
Definitely great.
And we're entering the holiday season, particularly the Christmas season.
That's right, Dan.
And people have this love for music, so I've been incorporating it into the show this month, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to keep doing that. Music brings a point home. Now, why did I pick the song Jig? Well, it's a happy song. It's unconventional. It's commercial in that it was a successful album, and yet are millions and millions and millions listening to this type of music? No, there's too much mind control going on. But the title Jig sort of resonated with me because I like to think that for the banksters and the criminals in governments around the world, actually, including the UN, we might as well throw in the Vatican there and all the secret societies, the jig is up.
That's what I was thinking.
So a little bit of a pun there, picking that song.
That's going back in an older American slang vernacular of the, I would say, the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
The jig is up.
Yeah, and of course we say the gig is up too. But what have you been up to, Michael? It's been a few weeks since we had you on, but you know, let the listeners know what you've been dealing with. And
thanks, Don. Well, everything's good, and I've just been keeping up with supplying orders, my formulas to a bunch of nice people out there. Helping them to restore their health or stay healthy, and also musically, done, diligently working away on that CD so I can get it into your hands. Some very nice, it's pop structured music, just very nice melodies. I'm really anxious to get some of that material into your hands soon. And so that's been keeping me very busy up to now. And then just extra chores with phasing into winter season here and taking care of some chores around a place outside work for preparation, especially my fig trees, winterizing them so that they're secure for the cold winter and ready to produce next year. And so that's pretty much been what I've been up to, all in all. And things are well. The Lord is good.
Well, that's good. On a past show, in fact, I played a clip yesterday on Drew Rain's show, and I was talking, well, the clip was talking about large numbers of birds that are being found around the country and really around the world. Could be billions of birds are just dropping dead. And I played a clip which was basically a bunch of, or let's say a collection, bananas come in bunches, a collection of news reports from mainstream television that allude to a lady in the New Jersey area. There was another young man in the Bronx, in Brooklyn. Large numbers of birds are dropping. And they brought a fireman on camera and was saying they must have had an accident. Hundreds of birds don't have accidents.
Are they dropping in groups or is it just sporadic?
Yeah, there was one lady, and then this was on the film. There were several hundred birds in her front yard.
Oh gosh.
These were starlings, and in this report, they said that the USDA admitted poisoning food. Now, they claim that they went out into the woods to do this. Anyone who's seen starlings around a city know that they pretty much live in the city unless they have a park or someplace where they can go stay in trees.
Sure.
Usually, near dusk, they like to play games, and they play sort of a tag game where they're dive bombing in circles. I've seen this in Europe in many places. And they're very playful, happy little critters. They're not destructive whatsoever. They're not messy. They don't leave a mess behind when they leave civilization, if you want to use that word. And yet somebody deemed it necessary to get rid of these animals. Well, the cover story was that the USDA actually put a poison that kills them within 24 hours. Now, you tell me why all these birds decided to go to this lady's yard and keel over in the snow. We know that it's chemtrails is what's causing this. And it's not just
clearly something. I mean, I probably mentioned this back in the late summertime frame, early fall, that I take care of a lot of birds, feeding them all year round, and a lot of pigeons as well in the mix. Interestingly, starlings, which used to be around a lot, were not around much at all this year. But I did see quite a few pigeons in the course of maybe 2 months, all of a sudden just showing up sick. One slammed right into the side of my house early in the morning.
Now that's an accident.
No, it's not an accident because this thing was hauling. I mean, he slammed into the side of the house, and you know, these pigeons are so incredibly versatile, and it just doesn't happen as an accident. Not unless, of course, it was already so sick that it just had no control, no longer had any volition at all.
Mm-hmm.
But it just slammed right. I mean, it was hauling. It sounded like it was so loud that you said, "What the heck was that?" And I knew instantly it was a pigeon slamming up against the side of the house. And I don't know what was going on, but I too, Don, was attributing it to chemtrail activity because I didn't know what else it could be.
Yeah.
Strange, very strange. But so far lately, everything seems fine again around here with the birds.
Yeah.
No problems since then with the birds here. Well, and I have a ton of them.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just saying, I have a lot of them, lots of birds here.
Well, simultaneously with these reports, you have meteorologists around the country talking about the issue of chemtrails, because in some areas there a lot of people are upset about it, and they're calling up the media and they're telling them to get this message through to the weatherman or whomever would investigate what's going on. And the first of all, there's denial that it's happening, and that's been their posture since the beginning, you know, since 1995 or so.
Sure.
They began spraying over Colorado. And then they came out with this story, first of all, that the Air Force knew nothing about it. And then all of a sudden, this is a secret experiment to circumvent radar. Or to confound radar was what one quote was. To confound radar. Now, why would you want to confound radar over U.S. airspace?
That's right.
All this commercial traffic. So it's another lie, you see.
Sure.
They may do it to confound their swamp gas that they're spewing out of every orifice of their body.
Yeah, for sure.
Mostly out of their mouths.
Miss it.
But... you know, we get these lies, and it's pathetic because they don't expect people to counter at all, especially on these shows or in an article. There are a lot of people studying the topic. You and I have discussed Morgellons. We've more recently discussed some of the other elements that are there. They keep saying aluminum and barium. Granted, aluminum and barium is in chemtrails, but there are many other toxins that are there. A lot of heavy metals. They changed the recipe, if you want to call that, recently. And we know that there are dangerous bacterial mixtures which are falling on these birds. It has to be hitting them, especially if they're living in trees. They're basically out in the open.
Oh, of course. They're in it 24/7.
And they're feeding on areas that have been contaminated.
That's right.
And it's not just birds. Large number of deer and elk and antelope and moose and bears and wolves and foxes. And
honeybees.
And honeybees. The bee population has suffered immensely.
Yeah, that's what's hitting the bees too, most likely, Don.
Now, they've been saying... with regularity, well, it could be microwave technology,
and there's something to that, but not like this though. It's more of a chemical dispersant that has a much broader application, and it seems to be more related to that, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And last week we had a caller call in about developing a respiratory. Malaise.
Yes. Yes, that's very common.
Yes.
In fact, Don, I just spoke with a lady in Utah yesterday who is a nutritional consultant for a long time, and she's also a client of mine that uses my formulas, and she also uses the formulas for her clients. And she was telling me that she actually was tasting aluminum because of the heavy contrast. She's in about a 6,000-foot altitude.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, are you sure it's definitely metallic aluminum? And she said, absolutely, no question about it. And so there you have that. And also, upper respiratory problems are very prevalent out through her area, as well as, you know, I encounter it quite a bit around the country dealing with it. And it's been a little quiet with that right now, knock on wood, but had treated that for the last 2 years quite a bit. Around the country.
Yeah. Now, you have to ask yourself, why would the USDA say that they were culling the starling population? Since when do they have the authority to selectively murder animals?
That's right, Don.
Any species. I mean, where do they get off?
That's right.
Even making that statement. But
it's amazing.
That's the cover story, that this had to be done. What did they threaten?
Yeah, exactly.
The pharmaceutical companies? Is that why they're getting rid of them?
And how is it that they're so specific with, well, it's only going to affect the starlings, but nothing else. Everything else is safe. Come on.
No, we've had major cases coming out since the middle of 2004. There were some people in Iowa that got really blasted. It could have been some downdrafts that caused their whole house and their cars and everything to be covered overnight. And they all woke up sick the next morning. And it was determined that there was anthrax involved in the webbing that this makes.
Wow.
Oh, it's
bad. Obviously, there's an assault against all of God's creation by a bunch of sick, soulless, very sinister people that have their own particular warped agenda of how they feel the earth should be. And, of course, with their concepts, the earth is going to be hell. That's what they want to create, a hell on earth, a total hell on earth. And it's really amazing to see how arrogant they are with using various technologies against either the populace or nature itself and getting away with it still. But they curse themselves, the fools. They are that stupid. they actually think they're going to be able to defeat God or mock God?
Mm-hmm.
What idiots, losers. And their time is coming, one way or the other. It's over for them. And the sooner the better. I can't tolerate them. I have no patience for them either.
Yeah, I had a conversation with a friend yesterday who's actually on this show quite often. And we were talking about the concept of God and the various dimensions, the dimensional realities. And you have to basically say, you know, who can count the number of dimensions that exist in the universe? And by the time that you graduate in your consciousness to such a level, it's beyond comprehension at this point. You know, living
for our mortal minds, yes, it's definitely very incomprehensible type of thought activity. Yet, as we crunch on it bit by bit, we'll be able to gain at least a nice insight as to how amazing God is and how vast his creation is. I mean, we're talking now, Don, multi-dimensions, not just a physical universe, but actually, you know, plural universes or polyverses.
Yeah, yeah.
And it becomes very unfathomable. Of course, it was all related to in a technical sense as the law of octaves, which is a great way to pursue these concepts. And of course you need a good feel for music then to appreciate octaves themselves. But that's a great way to conceive of all these many universes, parallel worlds, multi-dimensions or many mansions in my Father's kingdom, as a good Lord would say. It's staggering to the mind, but now just imagine this. Imagine being able to dwell in at least two places at the same time and be totally aware of all your activities simultaneously in both those places. Now that's even more staggering to try to conceive that.
Well, and we do that now, some of us, you know, it's.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. It is being performed by very few. But nonetheless, this is reality. Now, just imagine once you can conceive that you're occupying more than two places at one time. The good Lord himself is known to be in nine places, can be in nine places at the same time. It's.
Yeah. Now.
It's very amazing.
Would you agree that, or, you know, you don't even have to agree. Let me make the statement, though. I think what I notice is that people who are involved in the creative process, artists, sculptors, musicians, and when I say artists, you know, they could be those who draw, those who work with watercolors, paints, clay, making things out of natural earth substances, you know, like the grasses and the rocks or stones and flowers and, you know, using imagination. It's those people who create are actually tapping into that universal force of creation, and they're contributing to it. They're raising the vibration or, you know, the octave, but let's not forget the harmonics either. Mm-hmm. And nature is loaded with this. I mean, all we have to do is observe nature, and we can see that nature does not require us to do anything except leave it alone. I mean, it's there to appreciate, and
yes, yes. Well,
and,
it doesn't
keep us alive as well.
Yes, it's not that it wants us to leave it alone. Our role is to live with her in total harmony and cooperation.
Yeah, when I say leave it alone, I mean don't interfere with it.
Yes, of course. Don't interfere with her order, her natural order of things. That's right. But at the same time, it's our responsibility to help restore Mother Nature back to the level of perfection. So the way we do that is by working with everything in creation, the animal kingdom, the plant kingdom, the mineral kingdom, the kingdom of men, and then the angelic kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
We have access to all of that, and if we learn how to utilize and to have a rapport with each of those kingdoms.
Yeah. Now we have the raping.
We fulfill ourselves.
Yeah. We have the raping of hundreds of millions of acres of forest around the world, and what do they tell us? Plant a tree. Just plant a tree. Of course, what do they tell us to do to counter a nuclear test underground, you know, or in space, or in the atmosphere? This has gone on over the years, and to the ignorance and to the demise of the common person out there that has no idea these things are going on, and those things, the testing of these weapons. There's not a second thought about what it might do to the earth, you know. To living beings.
It's amazing when you just contemplate all the nuclear detonations that have gone off since the mid '40s, and without any real regard for the consequences it's having on creation itself, on the earth, and that is done. It's very disappointing. But again, it just highlights that our world is in control and run by evil, sadistic, warped individuals that lack any type of soul. And they're hell-bent with their own agenda and don't have a regard for anything else. And it's amazing that they've been tolerated for this long by the populace at large. But their time is coming, that's for sure. And these destructive technologies, again, these weapons like nuclear detonation, that's a very, very powerful explosive. And it's very disruptive, where God's technologies will be in harmony with nature. Really, no noise, no disruptions, no explosions, even a combustion engine. It's an explosion at a micro level.
Yes.
And
this radiation hangs around for billions of years, too.
Absolutely.
This isn't something that just disappears like the smoke from fireworks on the 4th of July.
You've got the radiation contamination. You have the rippling effect from incredibly powerful explosions. I mean, they're ripping into the ether itself. And so it's causing harm in ways that are not perceptible to the five senses, except for the radiation. But the ripping into the ethers itself with the powerful blasts, that's big trouble right there. And some have speculated that with the A-bomb blasts, that they are attracting negative entities. And that's why a lot of UFO activity has kind of appeared simultaneously at the same time that A-bomb technology had arrived on the scene. And there's something to all that. And no question about it, though, it's an evil technology. Any kind of technology involving destruction is obviously anti-God.
Yes.
And the technologies that don't destroy and don't pollute, don't harm anything, and yet generate energy, that's light technologies, God technologies. And that's what they won't let us have, of course.
Now, this is uncanny that you just made these statements you did in the past two sentences, because I wanted, you being a chemist, and you and I don't really go into a lot of chemistry in our discussions, But it qualifies you to understand what's going on with herbs and your remedies. And then, you know, the forerunner of chemistry, most would say, was alchemy.
Yes. And
the use of the alchemy was not the same as how chemistry is functioning today.
I mean, that's right.
That doesn't mean that there isn't any alchemical practices going on, because there are. They're very identifiable by the rituals that accompany the use and the destruction. They're usually destructive in nature, at least in terms of the well-being of the masses. It makes those who are participating in the alchemical rituals a lot of money, and they invoke a lot of death on people around the world who are basically innocent of any wrongdoing. I mean, what gives these people the right to just selectively kill other people on the planet and invent the reasons through which this is supposed to happen? So being the forerunner of chemistry, alchemy was a process of transforming matter. Now, why did matter have to be transformed? Well, they had to come up with some secret way or some special way that only they knew about that could put base metals into their hands, say gold or silver or platinum or anything that they thought that they could benefit from. Let's say, like, you could even say maybe a universal elixir.
That's right.
The first Rockefeller was selling petroleum.
Oil.
Yeah, peak oil, yeah. And it was making people sick. And this guy was really a criminal, and it was very, very demonic what he was doing.
Sure.
So demonic, and he was such a lowly character that he even fled the circles of the elite, and his sons basically disowned him. He was a pathetic individual, and yet he got away with all of this. This is a pattern that is still continuing today. Now, if you get into, let's say, the figurative meaning of alchemy, and this is probably the more predominant use of it. They're using figurative alchemical means to still produce these heavy base metals, which they're stealing. Okay, and they produced or replaced it with paper. Okay, so now you have this destructive process, because the paper predominantly is coming from trees. But the point I wanted to make is that they achieve their results regardless of if the results are compatible or incompatible with every other aspect of life and every other aspect of reality.
Well, Don, you're talking about people that just pursue their own will and regardless of the consequences it will have, and if whether or not their will and ambitions are in harmony with the Almighty Creator's will and ambitions, and they have total disregard towards all that. And that's why the end justifies the means for them. And as far as alchemy goes, they are all up on alchemy for sure. And your analogy with counterfeiting money supply and stuff is appropriate, but it's not, of course, like what alchemy is really all about, which ultimately alchemy, first of all, means all chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the real science up to modern times. And it was like everything else in art and a secret. And it essentially was centered on the principle of transforming matter and making matter subservient.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so it's known in the legends as turning base metals into gold.
Making all things subservient, if I might interject.
Ultimately.
Yeah.
Ultimately. But, see, the alchemists, the had to be good in order to really be an alchemist, you see. If you were wicked, the powers of alchemy would really not avail itself to you. Because an alchemist was acquiring the ability to have matter subservient to it. Therefore, this individual is now godlike and will have godlike powers, which the average mortal will be susceptible to. So are these powers going to be used for selfish purposes or for more altruistic purposes? And this is what alchemy really was key on. And that's why it was secret. And Jesus was, among everything else, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Master of Masters, and the alchemist of alchemists, transforming water into wine, or taking a few loaves of bread and fish and feeding thousands of people from that few loaves and few fish. And yet these disciples kept reaching in to the basket, and there would always be plenty of food to feed the thousands. And there was even leftovers. And of course, healing people with just a thought, that's very advanced alchemy. And I mean, that's the ultimate in alchemy. And walking on water, and then ultimately raising himself from the grave, which again is the ultimate in alchemy. And that's what alchemy was really key on, was immortality. The base metal was really the mortal body, and the gold was the pure immortal body that was refined and therefore perfected and therefore now at an immortal stature in creation. And that's what the alchemists were really key on. And in the pursuit of all that, though, yes, they understood that at the micro level, they would be able to then manipulate matter and take base metals such as lead and mercury and turn it into silver or gold, and that would really just be a symbology of what they were really pursuing, which is immortality itself.
Yeah, well, more recently, and you could probably say within the last 20, 30 years, there's been this crescendo of research in the area of, in pursuit of the seed of life, what they call the Ganesh particle, the beginning of life. And imagine that what they've done to destroy the life that God has created here on earth, imagine what evil devices they would design for themselves should they be able to successfully discover that.
And you see, Don, they have to acquire this through technology. When the Lord said the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, for the violent try to seize it by force, what he's referring to is that the kingdom of heaven is a power. It's not a place, because he also said the kingdom of heaven is within you. And so it's a power that we can acquire through proper cultivation, which the Lord taught extensively all about. And so it requires virtuous living and sacrifice, self-sacrifice, in order for this to come about. And that was all part of what he called the born-again process, becoming a brand new being, literally, which is so misunderstood today. And so now the usurpers, now they don't want to sacrifice. They don't want to work hard through virtuous living to acquire this power. They just want it. And so they will do anything to get it. And that's what he was alluding to with the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, for the violent will try to seize it by force. These are nasty people. They want it. The ends justify the means. Doesn't matter how they get it as long as they possess it. And so they will be denied immortality through the natural process, which occurs through Mother Nature, by the way. And this is why you can't, those that think they're close to God, or they Christianity and it has nothing to do with nature, and the Lord has nothing to do with nature, they're very wrong on that regard, because it's through Mother Nature that we regain our immortality. I mean, it is true. We get our bodies from Mother Nature upon birth. And it's also true, upon death, she reclaims the body. And so equally true is the fact that once we really figure out what we are and what we are not, and we start operating according to the natural design of what we are in relationship to Mother Nature, then we prove to God that we're ready to acquire a more perfect body, and Mother Nature is the one that gives it to us, and that's a body of immortality.
Yeah. Okay, you said something, if I can interrupt here, because you said something just now that opens the possibility that we can talk about what is going on in the ethereal realm because of all of the destruction. You take all this alchemy, all of this ritual, all of this secret science and mysticism that they use, and look at what they produce from it. It's all destructive. It brings about death to the plants of the earth, to the waters.
Yep, disease, suffering, death.
Yes, disease. It brings death to all of God's creations, anything that grows on the land, anything that lives off of what grows on the land, and anything that lives off of what lives off of what grows on the land, meaning people. It'd be interesting to be able to get a readout of the actual impact that this has on a universal context, and then watch the universe counter that with its own devices, which are part of the creation.
Yep, safety mechanisms.
Yeah, and while they destroy the earth, while they murder millions of people, while they addict people to drugs that they tell us are illegal, but they sell by prescription, you see, and under the guise of making us well, when it's killing people, and we know it, not to mention the side effects, all the problems that are there. What if you could describe what that might look like? And I know this is an outside the box question, but that's what I want to do, is ask an outside the box question and maybe get an outside the box answer that looks in at what's going on at the box, if you understand my meaning. How do you think the universe responds to all of this negativity that's being cast out into the ethers?
Don, it's a good question. And as with everything, the answers are all provided by the good Lord himself when he said, as a man soweth, so shall he reap. And he who sows the wind shall reap the whirlwind. And so, unfortunately, man will learn his lessons either the easy way or the hard way. The easy way is the fortunate way. The unfortunate way is the hard way. And that's where we are, because we've sown the wind and we're about to reap the whirlwind. These energies accumulate. All this negative activity is essentially releasing energies. And these energies are negative. They're destructive, and hence we call them quote-unquote negative. And these destructive energies are accumulating more and more and more in the ether.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it's a sufficient amount, it has to unleash. Now, if it's mild compared to modern times, could be just a very nasty thunderstorm. Could be a tornado. Could be a hurricane. But now we're going to get to the point where it's going to be earthquakes and volcanoes, along with hurricanes and many tornadoes. And that's already been happening.
Mm-hmm.
And this is nature herself returning back to the source, these destructive energies. Because they have to be neutralized, and this is how it has to be done.
I think that's true to a certain percentage of probability, but there is also this interference because they're using these technologies to do the same things, you see? And that compounds it.
That's right. Exactly. But what are those technologies doing? They're generating destructive energy.
Yeah, of course. That's the point
that's
I'm
right.
making.
Exactly. And so this is a cumulative effect of a lot of destructive energies being generated in the ethers. And only nothing but trouble is going to come from that through nature.
Now, for people to recognize this and to do this on a personal level, seeking the I am, the true self, not the false self, not the egoic self, but the true nature of who God created them to be. They have to take a variety of steps. Number one, they have to make the decision that they're going to do that, knowing that if this negativity impacts the universe, what does positivity do? doesn't it counter that? Doesn't it change the balance of the scale, which is anyone will agree is in it's out of balance in favor of all this negativity, all of this destruction.
Sure. Where you have negative energy manifesting, you'll see disease, suffering, and ultimately death. Yeah. And it will be prolific.
Yes.
So, and where you have a lot of positive energies, it'll be just the opposite. You'll see health. You'll see peace, peace of mind and body, health. And you'll see a very long life.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, part of our problem, part of our task, those of us who are trying to awaken people and at least expose a different perspective of what we're experiencing. Something is happening, but depending on how healthy you are or how sick you are or how deranged you are or how focused you are and how self-knowing or self-realized you are about yourself, you're going to contribute in a different way to the whole mess that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Either a positive way to undo it or... And it's not going to happen overnight with just one person. It has to be a groundswell, a shift.
That's
shifting,
right. But right? At the same time, that's right, Don. At the macro level, it's going to take many people to achieve quick results and worthwhile results. But when individuals are just in an isolated way working this out and applying this knowledge individually, they will see results, though, in their own individual world, you know, in a relatively short span of time. Because that's the beauty of this. This is how everything works. And as an individual, we have our own little individual world. And when we're living accordingly to these concepts and following the means of constantly generating positive energies through proper thought activity, vocal activity, and the activity of physical deeds, then all of that will start manifesting at the individual level. And then when you have a lot of individuals doing it, then it's going to manifest at a more larger macro level where the whole country will benefit, and then the whole continent will benefit, then the whole world will benefit. And this is what we are all about as human beings. And unfortunately, nobody's teaching us that we are unique because we have the ability to qualify energy with our voice and our thoughts. Because energy, when it's coming in from the ethers, it's still energy. But when it hits the physical three-dimensional plane that we're living in, it manifests as matter, as a substance. We're qualifying that substance with our thoughts and also our words. That's why the voice is so powerful, so incredible, to use proper terms and to always have a very powerful command over the language so that you can really conceptualize your thoughts so perfectly with detail, because the thought is the thing. As a man thinketh, so he becometh.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the real key to the earth, or at least for mankind's survival on the earth, to be in favor with God so that we can be allowed to stay here and help assist the earth and Mother Nature be restored back to a level of perfection she rightfully deserves. Mankind is the key to that. That's why we're here. But man doesn't know that because we're kept in the dark about our real significant role as a human being on the planet Earth. In living as an organic, highest organic life form, which is a thin little veil of skin. When you look at all the organic life on the planet Earth, it's like just a little layer of skin on the very surface.
Yeah. You know, when I contemplate the fact that nature, and I said this before, it does not require man's interference to exist. It automatically follows the laws of the creation, the laws of the universe. And it can repair itself because it's always in that state of being. See, it's about a state of being. And through the toxicity of our foods, our environment, our water, our air, and our thoughts. Our
That's thought. Absolutely right, Don. You know, look at...
let me finish making the point. Through this toxicity, we are adversely affecting ourselves, and we're affecting nature, and it's causing man to be destructive and disrespectful of nature.
And it's also going to cause his own demise.
Yeah, that's not an excuse me statement that I made. I mean, I'm speaking in terms of the impact it has on eternity, you see. Right now, no one has accountability for that. There are
folks
that want accountability, but the person has to wake up. And I quickly just want to make a comment about the word health, because to one person, it means something totally different. You know, to one person, being healthy is not having migraine headaches anymore.
Right. And
to another person, it's not having itchy skin or scaly skin because of a nervous condition or some sort of a vitamin deficiency. And then you have the people who are clamoring to stop this insanity, yet they're somehow paralyzed because all the pieces of the puzzle in terms of their state of being in sync with the creation or in sync with the laws of the universe is part of the battle. In other words, they're in their demise, they're affecting this overall alchemical energy throughout the universe. They're affecting the process in a negative way.
Even though
their heart is in the right place and their intention is in the right place, health is considered to be free from illness or injury. That's a standard definition of it. Or a person's mental or physical condition. Notice both of those definitions there. Oh, the third one, soundness, especially financial or moral. Yet we don't have morals. And not in the financial community, we don't either, you see. So, or at least people are encouraged to discard their morals. Everything is bringing the frequency down, you see. And while people are looking for someone to lead them to stopping all this madness, they're acting from within the madness.
And with all
the conditions that allow that that state of being to exist. Go ahead.
It ultimately comes down to everything at the individual level. And what we have to understand as individual creations of this mighty power we call God is that there's responsibilities we have. And we have to learn what we are and what we are not if we ever are going to plan on really being a real individual with your own volition and not just an automaton, somebody that swears they're awake, but they're a robot their whole lives. That's what the Lord referred to when he said, though they have eyes, they cannot see, though they have ears, they cannot hear. And so it's very important that we do a lot of self-scrutinizing. And it's like when the rich man came to the Lord and said, Lord, I gave away all my wealth. I did everything you said so I can get to heaven. What else do I have to do to get to heaven now? And the Lord said, man, know thyself. Because it's all about us. We have to discover what we are and what we are not. That's another reason why we are here. And once we discover what we are, it's over. We are super powerful beings. No evil's going to be able to mess with us. And they know that. And that's why they set us up with vices all around, Don, tearing down our morals, tearing down everything that would generate good constructive energy. They don't want to allow that because that is counterproductive to their intention on destroying us. And so we have to be trapped in vices constantly because we will be very powerless when we're steeped in vices. And they know that.
Programming, like TV programming.
Sure, absolutely. You know, and not just that, though, but any, you know, that's a TV programming, that's programming, but then to be caught in vices, all the vices. One of the most common vices that Americans are in today is called laziness. They don't want to, you know, it takes work to think about a lot of stuff we just covered. everybody's got to keep up with thinking. Like, hey, that's, you know, that's a deep concept. I got to churn some brain cells to really start to appreciate that and think about it. And
isn't laziness a byproduct of apathy? Isn't it born out of apathy?
Well, laziness is part of apathy, but it's more than that too. I mean, you could have some people that, you know, hey, Mike, that's hard physical labor you're doing here. How do you do it? I love it. I'd rather sit around. And so it's that and more. You know, you just have to know that whatever is worthwhile having requires effort. And if you don't put effort into it, you'll never really get it. And if you do happen to get it without much effort, you may not hold on to it too long either. But if you've been really working hard and diligently at getting it and earning it through the correct manner of earning it, once you get it, nobody will ever be able to take it away from you. Mm-hmm. It's yours forever.
When that you just answered a question that came up here from one of our listeners who's basically saying, you know, how do we get to that point? He's saying qualified belief. I think maybe I would replace that, and he knows I'm going to say this, with knowledge. The knowledge and the knowing, the awareness that that greed starts at the top and it's taught it and it trickles down. And it's those.
That's all part of selfishness. Selfishness is taught.
Yeah. Selfishness, not being knowing thyself, but being only considerate of thyself.
Me.
At the expense of everyone else, right?
Right, Don. But, you know, Don, when I was talking about qualifying the energies, now this is how it works. This is the beauty of it. This is how simple it is. Just be cognizant of your daily activity, your daily routines, and see where your mind wanders, and then automatically catch it when it's not thinking about something positive. For example, you come across something and it's unfortunate, and you say, "Yeah, look at that bum." Instead of that, say, "Dear Lord, bless that poor unfortunate individual. May he be given opportunities to better himself, and may he also come to know himself and come to know you, Lord, at least as well as I know you, so I know that person will be at least as happy as I am. Bless everything that really is good." But when it comes to the Crockefellers and the Slawchilds and these dirtbag scum, you know you curse them. There's no salvation in them.
Is that the Crockefellers from Florida you were talking about, or are they from the Nile River?
No, these are from New York, Don, unfortunately.
Well, yeah, but via the Nile River, I think.
And so, you know, there's no salvation for them. There's no redeeming them. Curse them because they're the cause of all evil. Curse the evil that they generate. Maybe by a miracle, they will be saved. But the evil that has driven them will finally be exterminated. But curse all that's evil. But definitely ask the good Lord to bless that's all that's good. You see the animals, you see people, you bless everything. And don't feel jealous when you hear about somebody that's, you know, just had a break or this or that. You feel good for them. And just keep always trying to apply yourself in working on yourself to better yourself. Don't accuse your friend or your neighbor of the log in their eye and say, "You can't see, you got a log in your eye, or a splinter in your eye," as the Lord would say, but you got a log in your eye. Take the log out of your eye first, then tell your neighbor about the splinter in their eye. And so we have to constantly work on ourselves. All the faults that we have, they're self-generated faults.
Well, I think it's important, Michael, to recognize what's going on, what's causing all this, or what keeps it in this perpetual state. When you look at the fact that we use the word programming, when someone is programmed, and let's say the end result is laziness or apathy, those are a result or the side effects of addictions. You see, you get the person who is sitting on the couch drinking a six-pack of beer, munching on potato chips.
Absolutely.
And watching TV, hypnotized by what they're watching.
Mm-hmm.
99%, which is disinformation, and special effects to influence the subconscious mind. These people are addicted in the sense that they go out, when they run out of their supplies, they have to go out and replace that and repeat the process over again. Now, it doesn't change one state of being in a positive way. It's, you know this about anyone that routinely drinks alcohol. I'm not talking about an occasional drink. I mean, over and over and over again, just one beer after another. Oh, I'm out of beer. Got to go get some more. See, they're consciously choosing to do that. Now, that's because they've been programmed to be consumers.
Yes, Don. Yes, that's right. It's all conditioning. Everything is conditioning. And it's rare. And extra blessed are those individuals that through negative conditioning, you know, that's been predominant throughout their life, and yet they manage to still succeed and live, become a positive individual and not allow the negative conditions they were exposed to for a duration of time to really sink in and influence them so that their ultimate lives would be negative. They manage to break away. They were had enough self-awareness present to catch this and realize that it's a trap, and they focused all their energies on pursuing life in a positive manner, and that means, of course, that we are positive beings. There's no other way it happens. You're thinking positively, you're speaking positively, and you're doing positive things.
Yeah, and out of this is born crime, you see, because there are those who have the addiction that are incapable of earning the money that would allow them to purchase the object of their addiction, so they resort to another way to get it. You see,
that's correct.
And what the reason I'm bringing this up and harping on it, Michael, is because I feel that people aren't paying attention to what's being done to them. You see,
yes, that's right. Because they don't have sufficient self-awareness yet.
Yeah, but it suffices to consider, folks, that if what we're saying here is you're watching TV and you're watching these programs nonstop, and it's your choice that you made that choice. But don't complain about the choice you made if you're falling into that trap, because their intention is to get you addicted and to become a consumer. Doesn't matter if it's buying candy or alcoholic beverages or junk food of any kind, sugar substances, pornography, or to get involved in the pursuit of owning something that's beyond your means and even beyond, you know, what your heart would be satisfied with. It's this compulsion to have physical things, and then to have mental problems about those physical things. Either
that's all part of a very selfish natured complex,
yeah,
Don.
Yeah.
Those are all symptoms of a very selfish nature.
That's intentionally. You see, this is created intentionally.
Yeah, absolutely. It's we're a dual-natured being, and we can go either way. And so they know that. We can go very good or we can go very bad. And a lot of that hinges on our environmental influences. So they're doing their damnedest to make sure those environmental influences are as corrupt as possible to keep us going in the wrong direction, which is a very selfish nature. And, of course, that breeds ignorance as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you couple selfishness with ignorance, you got pretty much disaster on your hands, and you have a populace that's easily controllable.
Yeah. See, the people that find it hard to not turn on the television set are addicted to the experience of letting go and letting something else control them. They seem to get some satisfaction out of that. Well, that's what an addiction is.
Mm-hmm.
Any kind of addiction. It would be that with a drug or an alcohol. A lot of people will agree that that's a drug too.
Yep, and that's it's all conditioning. We're creatures of habit, and that's a fact. And that's why, like when it comes to health, for example, and I have to work with some people to get their diet better, so that we can get faster results with my formulas, because their state of health at the time is that poor. And, you know, oh, Mike, but I like my coffee in the morning. Or, Mike, I like my, cake or donuts. And it's like, yep, we're creatures of habit. Or, Mike, I like my hamburger. We're creatures of habit.
Yeah, they'll complain about their weight that or that their clothes don't fit, and they have to go out and buy new clothes. But you see, there's that compulsion, again, to buy.
We're creatures of habit, Don, and what we have to do is acknowledge what our bad habits are, cut it right off, and then substitute with good habits. And then ultimately, in a matter of time, because we're creatures of habit, we're so used to the good habits that we're accustomed to now that anytime we get into a negative, something that's bad, you know, it'll have an immediate repulsive effect on us because we're so conditioned now for good habits, you see?
Yeah.
Like you quit smoking cigarettes for a long enough time, next time you smell a cigarette, you won't stand the smell of it. And not too long ago, somebody in my family saying, you know, I was telling people I can't stand the smell of cigarettes. And I said, it's funny since you smoked, you know, half of your life. And she said, yes, it is funny because now I can't stand the smell. And I said, that's how it is with animal flesh if you stay away from it long enough. And she's like, really? And I said, you just got to stay away from it long enough and you'll see. You'll never tolerate the smell again.
And it's like that with the television, too. Same thing.
Absolutely, Don. Absolutely.
You know, and a lot of people say, well, you know, go for 1 month without watching the TV. Well, the average person can't do that. Go 1 hour, then go
right.
2 hours.
That's right.
And work up to a day, and then you're going to say, well, you know, I didn't watch TV yesterday. The first thing, that the next thought that they usually have is, I wonder what I missed. Let's see if I can find out what I missed. So there's this compulsion to know what's going on outside of oneself, but never knowing what's going on inside oneself.
That's correct.
You see?
And that's why it's so important for us to be aware of our need to constantly work on ourselves, to develop enough self-awareness where all you're doing is studying yourself. You can study yourself and others, which is studying everything. You have to be very observant, studying everything, because it's nice to be able to observe others, especially when they make a mistake and you see the result, because you can say, hey, now I know that's what happens if I make that mistake, so I'll make sure I don't do that. And you could look at a simplistic term of, you know, I've seen them stick the hand in the fire, and sure enough, they got real burned. I know fire's hot. I'm not going in it like that. And ultimately, though, it's studying ourselves most importantly, because we are our own worst enemy. It's our mortal nature that takes us down. And we're dualistic beings. We have this mortal nature. We're born as mortals with this mortal nature, but we're also creatures of God that has an immortal nature potential. And that potential was with us at creation. So it's real. It's there. But we have to know how to bring it out. And this is what the Lord called being born again.
Yeah.
And it's a real process. And so it all comes down to us as individuals doing the work. And, you know, in the old days, it was called the work. That's what it usually referred to. And alchemists use the same phrase, involved with the work.
Yes. And that's not the distractions and the diversions and the illusions. You see, this is all based on this illusion that somehow if your sports team wins an event, no matter how it came about, whether it was crooked or it actually happened, you know, as a result of pure competition, people look up towards a certain city because the football team won the Super Bowl, or because another basketball team won the NBA championship, or what country had the most medals in the Olympics. There's this competition which is intended or presented to us as to be healthy because it causes us to grow, to go to a higher place. But that's not really what's happening, because while that's going on and there are great feats of physical achievement in athleticism by both men and women, and hopefully without the use of performance-enhancing drugs and that, and of the mind, too. Most of competing at that level is in the mind. And really, that's the proper use of the mind to be being in a particular state that enhances your life, that adds meaning and value to it. Now, this alchemy that is going on is in every aspect of what controls the planet, isn't it? Every single one.
I'm glad you came back to that, Don, because I meant to mention that so everybody can appreciate how real alchemy is, because it's not an abstract notion or an abstract science. It's happening all the time. For example, our bodies are an alchemist machine. For example, we have to put a food into the system, into the stomach. That food is technically a fuel that's going to provide what we call nutrients, which will enable the body itself to maintain its health, its youthfulness, its energy levels. And so you put in some apples and some other foods from Mother Nature's plant kingdom. But what happens? They get burnt up in an oven. The digestion system's technically a furnace, and they get burned up. And now it's transmuted into a new substance we call proteins and also bone and glands and organs, cells for glands and organs, could be eyelashes, could be the layers of the eyes itself. All that's alchemy activity, just like the apple tree itself. The apple tree is baking in, it's nurturing in the sun with its roots deep in the ground.
And this is carried through the body by the blood and the oxygen that moves through the blood.
What's that?
All of this you're describing is you know, I didn't want to leave the blood, you know, the circulatory system.
That's right. That's all part of the alchemical system of the body.
As is the nervous system.
That's right. But you notice now, though, with alchemy, you see, a furnace is always involved, Don, for any time transmuting a base metal to gold, whether it's at the micro or the macro level, mm-hmm. immortality, or at the micro level of literally the mineral gold or silver in your hands from a base metal.
Well,
there's always a furnace involved.
Yeah.
High temperatures are required. Our stomach operates the same way.
Now there are unnatural furnaces. Let's take, for example, a nuclear explosion or any explosive device that destroys matter or alters it in a destructive way. But you have microwave ovens. People are nuking their food. That's where you can say nuke. It's nuclear, by the way, folks. It's not nuclear.
You got to listen to GW.
Yeah, you see these physicists, these guys have doctorates and are working with NASA, and they're saying nuclear.
Oh, I thought I'm pretty sure that's how GW would say it.
You know, the word is nucleus, nuclei, nuclear.
That's correct.
And it's okay to nickname it nuke. That's sort of a slang word. But we say when you microwave your food. Now we're burning the food, or we're heating it in a furnace of a different nature, which changes the molecular structure into other compounds. It's a technological alchemy, isn't it?
Yes, alchemy's all around us, Don. And that's what the self-aware individual comprehends fairly quickly. Alchemy is reality. Everything is being transmuted from one form into another. Our task is to transform everything into a more perfect state.
With awareness.
Where there's perfection, that's where you have long-lasting life.
Yeah. Well, Michael, we're about out of time. This is really interesting, though. I got to have you back on again soon. I'm thinking of the 22nd, actually, if you can make the 22nd.
Twenty-second is good here, Don. You want to make that a definite?
We'll do that, and then the audience knows that we'll continue this discussion next Wednesday, the 22nd of December. And I feel that it's important for us to do that because we've not covered all the bases yet. you know, I feel the Spirit pulling me in the direction of us telling people, look, regardless of what you read, what you're hearing going on, you still have the responsibility of knowing who you are. It's really a responsibility.
And it's the ultimate responsibility.
Yes, yes. And I feel that we covered a lot of interesting aspects of understanding who we are and how to recognize this. I had picked a song to end the show, and I had no idea what we were going to talk about. I have it queued up, and I want to play this before we make our closing remarks. But this is taking place at a food court in a mall in Canada. And I played a clip similar to this that occurred in New England about a month or so ago. And this is spontaneous. Now, in light of experiencing this while you're eating, I want to briefly talk about this after you listen to this, because this is going to paint a picture in your mind. I wish you could see the expressions on the people's faces and how this came about. There is a mall piano player at the beginning of this piece who's playing a song, and suddenly everything is transformed. And we're going to be hearing, well, I'll identify who this is afterwards. I think it'll be more effective that way.
Thank you.
everybody. Thanks.
Now, that was brought to us graciously by the Chorus Niagara, performing at the Welland Seaway Mall Food Court.
Very nice.
Under the direction of Robert Cooper, and that was produced by Fagan Media Group. Want to give all those folks credit for that.
Nice job. Beautiful.
I found this in the course of my research. You know, I had a revelation about a couple of things, and suddenly I'm on this website listening to this music, and I went really had to jump through hoops to come back to it after I had moved on. But to see this, how they did this, these were people sitting in the food court eating with everyone else, and suddenly one of the ladies stood up and did the introductory solo. And was holding a cell phone to her ear. Of course, she wasn't on the phone. It was a prop. But she, when she stood up and just started singing, you should have seen the looks on the people's faces.
Sure.
When they got about a third of the way through, as they panned on all the people who were sitting there participating as the audience, they were showing the expressions of wonderment on people's faces. It brought smiles to people's faces.
Yes.
Even though most of them were eating junk food.
That's right, Don. You see what the power of music is? Good music with beautiful voices and beautiful melodies and inspirational lyrics.
Yes.
At the top of it all,
they started showing a lady who was standing with her cell phone up in the air taking photographs of all of this event. They were throughout the crowd. They sat amongst the crowd. They weren't in a line or several rows of people on a riser. They were standing amongst the people, and they were putting that vibration in their immediate vicinity. Now, you could see this lady holding the camera up, tears streaming down her cheeks. She was absolutely overwhelmed. She was taking it all in. And it had this powerful impact on her. And you could see the joy of the singers. They were singing, but they were smiling. They were radiating light.
Yep, and you know, we don't see much of that anymore this time of year, whereas when I was a kid, my gosh, it was so common. And everybody was always, there was a real Christmas spirit in the air all the, you know, throughout the season. And you had even carolers, and sometimes we used to go out with carolers. And that's all gone due to the controllers with their conditioning trying to kill all that is good from God so that mankind cannot be stimulated in a very positive way so that he can recognize his higher self, his higher nature, and desire to become it all the time, not just for a week out of the year, but all year round. Sometimes people say, Mike, you're ready for Christmas? And it's Christmas for me every day.
Mm-hmm.
Not because I'm getting gifts, but because I am always in the frame of mind that I love the good Lord. I appreciate all that he's done as far as being a great being that cares about us. And he's shown us the way to peace, prosperity, and long life. And, of course, it's all hidden with the religions and the churches and the Bible. But nonetheless, he provides a way for you to understand it and figure it all out. And that life is beautiful in God's creation. Man's world, it's screwed up. No question in that. But creation itself, God's creation, even in with the imperfect fallen nature that it's trapped in right now, it's still a wonderful, beautiful thing to experience and to participate in. And to participate in a proper way. Everywhere you go, bless it, nurture it, help it. And then next thing you know, it's coming back to you. And every day will be Christmas. Not that you're getting a real gift every day as far as, you know, a present, me, wrapped up in a nice package. No, there'll be other gifts coming your way that you're not even aware of that are going to benefit you. And that's the beauty of this time of year, Don, bringing it out, letting people finally have a connection with their real self again, but unfortunately I go back to sleep in, and that's the trick, is to keep it going all year round. Mm-hmm.
And people get swept under by this emotion of giving and receiving, but it's understood as an obligation to contribute to the material realm. It doesn't occur on a spiritual level. It's a head process and a physical process. And then, are people really happy? No, this isn't my favorite color. I have to take it back. This doesn't fit me because I put on 50 pounds since last Christmas. Or I have to reciprocate, and I'm not comfortable with that.
Well, how about this one, Don? It's Black Friday, so quick, get in line. We got to camp out, man. Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, we got to get there before everybody else, Don. I got to get that best deal on that Xbox.
Yeah, and that
and don't get in my way.
Yeah, you're setting yourself up for reinforcing or creating new addictions with that. And then you wonder who's going to lead. Well, if you were the only person, who would you count on? If you're the only person left on the planet, how would you survive? And I've heard those say, well, I just wouldn't, I'd kill myself. Why don't you do it now? You know, you in a lot of ways you are, or you're allowing someone else to kill you. And we have a responsibility because we came here for a reason. We came here for a purpose. We might not know what that is, but that's part of the self-discovery process, is it not?
That's right, Don. But I'll tell you, I'll tell everybody listening what it is. This is what it comes down to. Obviously, we're all here passing through. We get a ticket. It has a duration, and then the ticket gets punched, and we check out. I mean, nobody's going to argue with that one, except for the immortals, the few immortals out there. And so, and those in training under the immortal tutorship. Now, the beauty of this is that this is how simple it is. Life itself that we're born into is a bank. And like all banks, we have either credit or a debt with that bank that we belong to. Now, since life is a bank, the key is to always have credit with it and not much debt to it. Because when you have credit with the bank owes you. But when you have debt to the bank, you owe the bank. So what happens is when you have credit with the bank, that means you're giving. You're giving to life all the time, which is the bank. You're putting back into life more than you're taking from life. And so you have credit with life. And then it comes back to you, that credit. And people call that good luck. And then those with debt to life, they have bad luck all the time because all they have is debt to life. They're always taking and taking, but they never put back. They don't realize that they're now in debt and therefore they have debts to pay back. And so as we go through life and a time comes when our ticket's punched and we look back on our journey, the Lord is going to say, how'd you do? You got credit or do you got debt? Happy are those that say, Lord, I got a lot of credit.
Well,
sad'll be those that say, Lord, I got a ton of debt.
And this isn't an illusory credit or usury credit.
This is the real credit. You got it, Don.
You know? So, well, Michael, we're out of time, but next show, let's continue this conversation. I think it would be very interesting.
Great, Don. I look forward to it very much. Thank you.
You know, folks, if you would just take a little bit of time and reflect on what you would have your life be and what you would have this country and the rest of the world be, if you had to make the choice, consider what impact that has on the whole universe and ultimately the responsibility that you're going to have to take for having made that decision. We've got to say goodnight. Michael, again, you're going to be on Wednesday the 22nd. I look forward to your next appearance on Evident Footprints and wish you a great rest of the week and an upcoming weekend.
Thank you very much, Don, and great to be back on. Look forward to next week, and God bless to everybody. Good night.
All right, folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com and tonight's special guest, Michael Anthony. Check out Michael's private stock on my website, directlightproductions.com. go-to sponsors, and then click on Michael Anthony and read up on some of his wonderful and very positive remedies. I want to thank Wind Talkers Radio Network for broadcasting Evident Footprints. Over at BBS Radio tonight, Don Newsom on the sound. I want to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. And most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in to our now 64K stream. If you haven't tuned in and signed up for our archives, Evident Footprint Archives for 1 year, also entitles you to all the other archives on all of the other bbsradio.com streams. So I encourage you, if you like to listen to this show later on or have a means for sharing it with someone else you feel the message may help, by all means, consider signing up for the archives at BBS Radio. I want to thank you, the listening audience, for tuning in. And join me tomorrow night when my special guest will be Dr. Michael Castle. In the meantime, I'm going to try to, I'm going to raise the vibration a bit here and play some of my music as we go out. I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.